choirs all over the world this Christmas are singing this music. It's called Lux Aurumque, translated from the Latin that means light and gold. The man who wrote it, Eric Whitaker.
I think so much of Christmas for me is that it's about light and about those intimate, warm moments, magical moments that are small and delicate.
Eric Whitaker has an unparalleled ability among composers today to turn his ideas into music that lots of people crave. Singers of every ability, every age, and on just about every continent sing his music. How does he do it? How does he turn those moments of light that he experiences into notes on a page that people will love to sing and to hear? Hi, I'm Brian Newhouse. For the next hour, this gorgeous contemporary expression of Christmas and the stories behind the music told by the man himself. Welcome to Light and Gold, the music of Eric Whitaker.
Thank you.
The BYU Singers, led by Ron Staley, in Eric Whitaker's Little Tree, a text by E.E. Cummings. Merry Christmas to you, Eric.
Merry Christmas, Brian.
That's an early piece of yours, isn't it?
Yeah, it was written in 1996, I suppose. I had
You were 16 at the time, right?
Yeah, plus a bit. I was doing my master's degree at the Juilliard School, and I was studying with a man named David Diamond, who is sort of old school Americana, great composer, a rough teacher, notoriously rough, famously rough, I should say. And I struggled for the entire year that I studied with him. And what's interesting, listening to Little Tree, I hear the struggle. I can hear me in there, but then also I can hear that in many ways I'm writing what sounds to me almost like 40s Americana music. It sounds like Randall Thompson and David Diamond and Samuel Barber. I was trying to find my feet during that year. It stretched me. In retrospect, I was stretched by those lessons in a way that I hadn't been before.
So that's 20 plus years ago. Let's come right to the present with maybe your most recent piece that just got premiered earlier this month with the Los Angeles Master Chorale at Disney Hall, a piece called Glow, written for Disney. And I'm not even sure really what that means when you write for Disney. Is it a musical? Is it a movie? Is it an animated cartoon? What is it?
It's even better. So they came to me a couple of years ago and they wanted to produce a virtual choir for Disneyland. But it was in that conversation that they said, we're thinking of the show. We want it to be about light. We want it to be about the warmth of Christmas. You know, it needs to have a certain glow to it. This is what they said to me. And then it was just opened the door right there in the meeting. I thought, oh, I know what this is. So I wrote the piece and we performed it with my professional choir in Abbey Road Studios in London. And then those became that recording became the learning track for all of these other singers who joined the virtual choir. And then it was finally projected at Disney last Christmas.
This is called Glow, most recent piece by Eric Whitaker. Eric Whitaker Singers, conducted by co-host of this show, Mr. Eric Whitaker.
Thank you.
That's the premier broadcast recording of Eric Whitaker's latest piece called Glow. Eric Whitaker conducting his own ensemble, the Eric Whitaker Singers and this orchestra, and the text by Edward Esch. You're listening to Light and Gold from American Public Media. I'm Brian Newhouse, across the table here from my guest, Eric Whitaker. And I know you named your boy Esch, and it kind of makes me wonder about your own Christmas traditions. How old is he, and are there any traditions that you celebrate with in your household this time of year?
My son is 9 now, and yeah, Esch means fire in Hebrew. And in retrospect, maybe I should have named him Sleepy or Placido. I don't know, but he's a fireball. I adore him more than anything. And because my wife was born in Israel, Christmas for us is the first half is always Hanukkah. And then Christmas, we pick up everything and go to my parents' house, which is in this tiny little town in northern Nevada. And every year it's the same. We hope for snow. Half the time we get it. And I suppose my favorite part of the tradition is when I was just 2 years old, we were in a store and saw a Christmas star, sitting on the shelf. And I had to have it. I put on quite a show. And so we got it. And now the tradition is that every year I place this on the top of the tree. But my son now is old enough that he gets to place it on top of the tree. So, it gives me a really warm place in my heart when I think about that.
So sometimes you get winter in northern Nevada, sometimes you don't, but that leads me into this next piece performed by the Pacific Chorale called simply Winter. Text for this is by whom?
Also by Edward Esch.
Okay.
Very simple, very delicate. This was written while I was composer in residence with the Pacific Chorale with John Alexander. They asked me if I would write a piece for Christmas, and I remember saying to them, I'd love to, but I'm just afraid that I don't want to write the traditional Christmas piece. You know, there's kind of a thing that one does at Christmas. Is it okay if I just stretch my wings a little bit? And they said, we're not sure what that means, but yeah, go for it. And I don't know how it all came together. I think at the time I was fascinated by Indian classical music. And there's, within Indian classical music, there's ragas, which are sort of like scales, the way that we would use over here. And there was a rainy season raga, called Desh, which is the kind of raga that you would use around this time in December. And somehow the sound of it and the color of it, I thought, this all makes sense to me. And so I thought, you know what, I'll write a piece for string orchestra, harp, chorus, and sitar. And it remains this odd anomaly of a piece that is, I suppose, my version of Christmas. Thank you.
It's called winter. Can't you just see the winter sun glancing off those little icy notes of the sitar? The Pacific Chorale, led by John Alexander, celebrating the music of the season in a little different way with Eric Whitaker. What do you think about that piece now, Eric? And how was it received when it was first premiered?
I'd say half the people in the audience seemed to like it. Half the people, I think, were completely confused. What is happening up there? But it's funny, you know, even just now as you and I were listening to it, I haven't listened to it in years. And you said that about the light glinting off the snow. And I was reminded there's a line from the poem, which is simply a single snowflake awakes. And I love that image. And I think so much of Christmas for me is that it's about light and about those intimate, warm moments, magical moments that are small and delicate. And so I think much of winter was trying to capture that atmosphere, even though it was using an unlikely instrument in the sitar.
Well, wherever you're tuned in this Christmas season, I hope you're warm and well, and I'm glad you've joined us for Light and Gold, the music of Eric Whitaker. I'd like to let you know you can hear this program again, see video clips, and discover our 24-hour choral stream. All this is at classicalapm.org. We've got much more when we're back in just a moment. I'm Brian Newhouse, and this is APM. Fabulous choir from England called Polyphony. Stephen Layton conducting, and a little bit of a left turn for us here on Light and Gold. Music not by my guest and co-host Eric Whitaker, but by some guy named Francis Poulenc.
Yeah, I've got first. Isn't that choir amazing? My lord. Yeah. What I love, especially about it, first is that it's got this ecstatic nature to it. But also, you know, Poulenc's life, his musical life, sort of divided into two parts. The first part, which was more neoclassical, and I don't know if ironic is the right word, but detached at least. And then in the 30s, he had a shift, and he moved back toward more religious settings. And to my ear, at least, it becomes more more authentic. And even though this is, it's still got his kind of modular writing, right? An idea, pause, idea, pause, idea, and not much counterpoint. There's still just something so heartfelt and genuine about it. I adore it.
We'll keep this same choir front and center here. Again, Stephen Layton conducting a piece that, for choral geeks all around the world, this is a piece that really defines the season. And I know you are a fan of Californian American composer Morton Lauridsen.
Yeah, fan is maybe too small a word. The influence on my music, I think, to anyone listening is obvious. I find him, for me, just one of the all-time greats and a real pioneer in a certain kind of sound that absolutely I adopted early on and have reveled in. But beyond that, he's a mensch. He's a genuinely beautiful guy. And when I was just 21 years old, he sort of took me under his wing. I'd written a one piece, a Go Lovely Rose, that his teacher, Halsey Stevens, had also written a setting of. And so I don't know, we made some connection. And the generosity that he showed this, you know, this dumb kid who was into choral music, it was amazing. And because of that, now all of this is wrapped up together. My love of his music and my love for the man, and then this piece, which is, it's as you said, it defines the season for singers all over the world.
This perfect little text that is a expression of surprise that the Almighty would come first to the animals of the stable. Great mystery. Omnium Mysterium. Once again, Polyphony and Stephen Layton conducting.
Thank you.
the great mystery that the Lord of Life would visit the animals of the stable first. Omnium Mysterium. Morten Lauritsen's music, Polyphony, conducted by Stephen Layton. I'm Brian Newhouse, and you're listening to Light and Gold, the music of Eric Whitaker. Now, of course, my guest, Eric, that's not your piece, but it's something you look to as a sound that's been formative for you as a composer.
It's perfect, right? You listen to it, it's just the perfect piece of music. It's there's not a wasted note. There's this sound that he achieves with the choir that's luminous, that seems to glow. In the writing, you can hear him savoring every possible sweet moment, and it's just perfect. I stand in awe at that piece.
Is there some link you can draw from the music and the chords, how they change, the voicing between Omnium Mysterium and your own greatest hit of this Christmas season, Lux Aurumque? Is there a place where you can connect those dots?
Yeah, no question. It was through Morten's music. I was singing in the college choir in 1989, the first time that I heard it, that I was hit by this power of these close harmonies, these major and minor seconds. And very soon after that, I heard the music of Arvo Pärt, which was also using some of the same materials. I was transformed by it then, and it's the itch that I've been scratching for 20 years now. And so, especially with Lux Aurumque, there's no question that it's all drawing from the same well.
And remind us of the text and who wrote this, Lux Aurumque.
So the original poem in English by Edward Esch again is very simple. It's light, warm and heavy as pure gold, and the angels sing softly to the newborn babe. That's it. And then I took that to my friend Charles Anthony Silvestri, with whom I've written many pieces, Sleep and Leonardo Dreams of His Flying Machine, and I asked him to translate it into Latin. And the reason I wanted it in Latin was... First, I love the ancient, austere sound, but also Latin gives you a chance to meditate on ideas without there being, without the word machine predicting the next part of the sentence, so that you can meditate on the text in Latin and never have to worry about the forward motion of prose that you can actually understand with that part of your conscious mind.
And so how does that text finish out? Light.
That's it. So light, warm and heavy as pure gold, and the angels sing softly to the newborn babe.
Thank you.
Such a gorgeous, gorgeous piece. Lux Aurumque. The Eric Whitaker Singer is conducted by Mr. Eric Whitaker. As you were writing that piece back in 1999 or 2000, maybe like any other piece you're working on, do you get a glimmer of like, this could be a monster hit?
No, actually.
This one actually became. But how did you have any clue what this would become? Because it's sung all over the world.
Yeah, which I'm humbled by and surprised by. First, as crazy as this sounds, the text is pretty ambiguous. The angels sing softly to the newborn babe. So at the time, believe it or not, it didn't even occur to me that this could be a Christmas anthem, really. And then I remember at the time just being haunted by the chords, especially at the end. I would play them over and over and over, but never did I have a sense that other people might like them. You know, it felt something that I needed to put down on paper. And then as the piece over the years has caught on with choirs, it's humbling and surprising.
Well, it's taken on a couple of new lives, kind of like a cat that's just continues to get lucky and keep going. It's been translated into a wind band piece as well.
That's right. So I've taken a couple of my choral works and transcribed them for wind band, partly because I love concert bands, especially because they're in almost every school. And also there's not a lot of music like this written for wind band. You know, a lot of it is loud and rhythmic. And so the chance to do something that is literally teaching the players how to breathe, you know, there's a crescendo for four beats and a decrescendo for three. But as I transcribed it, there's this middle section that I wrote differently from Lux Aurumque. It's still called Lux Aurumque for wind band, but I rewrote the middle section because taking advantage of, you know, if suddenly you have the 85 instruments on stage, there's the opportunity for a much grander climax. And so I took music, this is very complicated, but from my musical, Paradise Lost, which is also about angels, and I just inserted it in at the climax of the piece. So now where the choral piece is more intimate, the wind band music opens up and becomes much more cinematic. So then after having conducted this wind band version many times and just falling in love with this epic climax that happens in the middle, every time I would go back to the choral version, the original, the middle seemed to be missing something for me. And so I thought, let's go full circle now. I'll make a choral transcription of the wind band version, which was originally, you know, the Lux Aurumque. But now, because there's this original piece called Lux Aurumque, which simply means light and gold in Latin, I need to really give it a different name because it's essentially a different piece. There's 22 different measures in the middle. So Tony Silvestri, decided to call it Lux Nova, simply new light.
Thank you.
big, glorious new sound out of a piece that's now 10, 15 years old. Lux Aurumque going through an evolution, growing like a tree with new rings on it and different versions of it. Recorded just a little while ago, just a few months ago, Eric Whitaker conducting his own ensemble, the Eric Whitaker Singers. This piece retitled as Lux Nova. Glorious, glorious sunrise in the middle of this piece.
Yeah, it's funny because now listening to the two of them side by side, it's hard for me to know which one to love more. And I think it's the kind of thing that I'll only do, I'm not sure I'll do it again, you know, tinker with these old pieces. And because there is an integrity from the original that once I change it, yeah, I have to honor the guy 15 years ago who wrote it and say at the time he had some good ideas and knew what he was doing.
We've just got a couple minutes more, and even with the clock ticking, I want to give listeners a sample of another fairly recent piece, this called The Chelsea Carol.
So I live in London now. I've lived there for, I guess I'm in my fourth year, and I'm composer in residence at Sydney Sussex College at Cambridge University. And in my time there, both in London and at Cambridge, I'm just filling my soul and my brain with the sounds of church music. And so I received this commission a couple of years ago from the University of Birmingham in Alabama, that Birmingham, not the one in England, saying they would like me to write an Advent piece. And an Advent piece, usually the poetry can be anything, but typically it's about celebrating the coming season. But I wanted to find my own path into that. And so I went once again to Charles Anthony Silvestri, the poet, and said, Tony, what can we do here together? What can we craft that's original? And Tony took a more pagan idea, that the queen of winter, and that she's coming, let's prepare for the celebration. And then at the grand moment that she comes in, there's this celebration for winter entering the... And knowing that I had these forces, a choir and a cathedral and an organ, I tried to write that that celestial sound.
Another new piece by Eric Whitaker. Eric Whitaker Singers, conducted by the man across the microphone from me, Mr. Eric Whitaker, The Chelsea Carol. Eric, best of the season to you and your wife. You'll be in London on Christmas Day. Are you going to be in Nevada during the actual week?
Thank you, and best of season to you as well. We'll be back in Nevada with my parents in a tiny little town. My mom will make eggnog, and we'll have the Christmas tree. My son will put the star up there.
What music will you be listening to?
You'll never believe this, but our family Christmas album is Loretta Lynn. This is what we listen to. It's the only thing we can all agree on. So it'll probably just be playing in the background over and over and over.
You've been listening to Light and Gold, the music of Eric Whitaker. If you'd like to hear the program again, view video clips, and check out our beautiful 24-hour choral stream. It's an embarrassment of all things choral riches. And you find it at classicalapm.org. Though, I'm sorry, we don't have a lot of Loretta Lynn there, at least not yet. We're working on that. Light and Gold was produced by Mike Pengra with Tesfa Wandamagniou and engineers Tony Federico, Cameron Wiley, and Michael Osborne. Thanks to you for tuning in, and Merry Christmas. I'm Brian Newhouse. This is APM, American Public Media.